Fed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools. For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown. Through its Fed Talk series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia students and Georgia schools. Welcome to Fed Talks.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Craig Gears with Fed Talks, and joining me today again is John White. John, you want to say hello?
Good afternoon, everyone.
And with John and me today, we also have Megan Frick, and Meg is with our communications department.
Hello, everyone.
We're glad to have her as a co-moderator with us. Thank you for joining us. Our focus is going to be during this series, summer programming. And we've asked two of our colleagues here at the Georgia Department of Education to join us. This is Megan Welch and Julie Morrell. You guys want to say hello?
Hi.
Hello.
All right. And they are with us from Curriculum and Instruction, and they work for the
L4GA grant.
All right. You got to tell us what does that stand for.
It's a federal competitive grant. It stands for Literacy for Learning, Living, and Leading in Georgia. And it's the Striving Reader funding.
Gotcha. So you, through your work in this grant, obviously have a lot of familiarity with summer programming, correct?
Yes.
All right. So that's why we are tapping you for your knowledge. So we appreciate you being here today. And we're going to focus primarily at this first in the series on the why behind summer programming. So, Julie, you want to get us started with a little bit of background on perhaps what are the elements of a good summer program?
Well, I think that districts have many different definitions of what they call summer programs. Some are there mainly for credit recovery. But I think when we consider, Megan and I consider summer programs or summer literacy, we're looking at places that offer students opportunities to read widely. It could be a summer camp model. It could be in conjunction with their local library. But the whole point is to enrich the kids over the summer using literacy as your basis, or math, or other enrichment activities that can do anything from take them on field trips to receiving read-alouds on the bus when the bus delivers their sack lunch. It could be any number of things.
I love how you said enrichment, because I think the last thing it should be is just more of the regular school day like they've had during the school year, right?
Yes.
Okay. I think, too, that that's a big contrast between those programs that are all about kind of remediation,
right,
and the difference between a program that is about enrichment. And what does that mean for the student that's in those different programs? What are they receiving on that end?
Right. So when a school district is setting up a summer program, right, do they coordinate with the teachers during the school year? Because our listeners may not be aware of that. There's a summer program, and then during the school year, is there coordination between the kids' classroom teachers?
Usually, it depends on the district. If they're looking to give the kids a summer boost, then they probably do coordinate. But we really discourage them from just making the summer program an extension of the school year.
Right, yeah.
We've also seen situations, and we've worked with a lot of districts, where they have a large percentage of children that don't attend a pre-K, early learning. So in those cases, they've got a whole year that the kids have missed. So they've put together like a summer literacy or a summer boot camp for those kids to accelerate. And so those children are lacking all those read-alouds and the necessary knowledge building that's been going on that whole year. And so this gives them access to print. It gives them access to what school's all about. I think it helps with transition. So we've seen those instances as well.
Right. And there's definitely, in the community, we've heard about where those summer months, kids tend to forget something perhaps, or they might lose some information. What do you think about that? Do you have any background there?
The summer slide.
Yeah, okay.
The summer slide happens. It's real.
Okay.
And a lot of schools are combating that by offering them, incentivizing the amount of summer reading that they do. If they don't have a summer program, or they're working with their local library, Get Georgia Reading, the Get Georgia Reading campaign offers the My On Reader in the summer, so they can go to their getgeorgiareading.org and sign up for My On, which mm-hmm. would offer them electronic books through any handheld device. But it's the amount of, it really comes down to reading widely, but being really engaged in what they're reading. So sometimes I've talked to districts where they've worked on putting out podcasts similar to this, kind of like book reviews, and they select books that have lots of companions so that the kids have an idea of what they need to select. They work very closely with their public libraries, bringing in authors, or even getting authors to do podcasts or to do little web, so that kind of like the, what's it, the LeVar Burton,
Reading Rainbow.
But in a summer way. We've heard where, in fact, Whitfield County does a really neat job with linking up Dalton State and their pre-service teachers and offering their summer camp that way. And so the pre-service teachers are practicing on real live kids who are receiving really rich in summer activities. And a lot of them aren't necessarily all reading or math, or, you know, they do lots of science experiments. They take trips. They bring in authors. They bring people that are in their community that know stuff that they don't know. And so it's all about knowledge building.
And from your experience, is there optimal time period for doing this? Like, you should always have a summer program be a couple of weeks, a month, how many hours a day?
There is a lot of research on that, and so I would encourage people to go out and look to see what has worked best for what their goals are. This guide that the Regional Education Lab out of Florida State put together, it's available on their website. It's called the Summer Reading Camp Self-Study Guide. Districts or whoever's planning a summer reading program can kind of go through this guide to look at things exactly like that. How long should this be? How many hours a day should kids be in this program? For what age? Are there really good teachers that you're hiring? Because that's really important. Right. While you might have people hire from the district, if they're not available, then what human resources are you pulling to engage the students that you're serving? Even what students are you serving? Are you pulling students that might just need that extra boost, or might need different resources? But you really have to be intentional about who that student is, who the teacher is, how long you're providing the service. There's research on that.
What are some of the benefits for a student when they're connected with some of this really high quality summer learning and enrichment?
I think that being engaged first and foremost is really important. If they want to be there, if they're interested in what they're learning, it will make a difference in what they retain, what they, how they excel in terms of where they'll be when they start in August again. So staying on grade level is important, but being engaged at the same time with high quality resources that really speak to the experience of that whole child makes a difference.
So yeah, I know you guys have been out to a lot of the sites over the last couple of years. Is there like one or two common threads you've seen that these sites have been implementing that work really well with kids and with the families?
I think that in just thinking holistically and coordination and sustainability, I think that districts and local communities have to look at what they have to offer first, because that's been going on. And how can they push in to help expand what the kids have access to? So
give us an example. You're talking like a Boys and Girls Club?
Yeah. So if the rec department offers, you know, all summer, the parents can sign them up for soccer camp and tennis camp and this camp and that camp. Then what can they do to just add just a bit of that to extend it, to offer the experience? It could be that they do a read aloud about a famous tennis guy.
Yeah.
I don't know who it might be, but you know,
Arthur Ashe.
Arthur Ashe. Okay, so how can they take what they already have at the Boys and Girls Club and push the resources in? So they're not necessarily competing against that. They're making sure that they've got a really well-rounded activity for the children to receive that has lots of different types of things.
So we traditionally think of summer school or summer programs being held in the school building. That doesn't necessarily have to be the case at all.
No.
You brought up a good example that you could be taking the services while the school may be providing them. They could be in the Boys and Girls Club or...
Well, and I think that sometimes it isn't necessarily a summer camp. We have had several instances where schools use the school buses to deliver the nutrition program. Mm-hmm. And the National Honor Society kids that are part or Beta Club kids, or sometimes it's the football team, they go out and do read-alouds. So when the kids come to the bus, the kids get a really well-read read-aloud that's engaging, and they receive that every day because we want them building their oral vocabulary.
Yeah, that's a really interesting concept, which I never really thought about. I mean, it doesn't have to be this complex program at a school. You can do little things that are already happening within the community and just embed your...
Yeah, in our grant, they provide summer experiences at their local housing authorities. Mm-hmm. They've paid for books for them, so they've put book baskets in there. Because sometimes they just don't have access to transportation. Right. It's too cumbersome to drag them all the way into the school. And we have in our grant, we have a lot of really rural communities. And so they've put these little lending libraries around. And then the kids have access to going to pick up a book. So I think it's you're just having to look at your local community, what you're capable of delivering that's going to be quality. How far can you push it in 1 year? Mm-hmm. And what is the need? Because some instances, the Boys and Girls Club have it going on, and they're able to have all of the children, and all you're doing is pushing the resources.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Just to wrap it up here a little bit, what do we have to offer from the Georgia Department of Education for districts or even families, community organizations that may be listening? Are there resources that we have available? I know, Megan, you mentioned the research out of REL.
Right.
Do you have other things on your website or places where folks could come and look at the Georgia Department of Education for ideas?
If you look at our grant page, the L4GA grant, if you Google that, that's the best way to get to it. We do have some resources listed, but I would also recommend looking at things like the Georgia Public Library Service website, the Boys and Girls Club, the YMCA, United Way. A lot of those organizations have summer programs across the state.
Get Georgia Reading.
Yes.
So they can get signed up for MyOn.
Okay, and that's what's the website for that?
GetGeorgiaReading.org.
Okay, very good.
And we actually work every year with DECAL, the Department of Early Care and Learning, the Get Georgia Reading campaign, Georgia Public Broadcasting, and a couple of other organizations, and try to round up all of our summer resources on one site. So if parents or community leaders go to georgiasummer.org, there are a bunch of resources listed there as well.
Great. That's up, georgiasummer.org. Okay. Awesome. Well, I think this has been a great introduction to this series. And in the next couple of series, we'll talk to some of our specific program managers and our school food nutrition folks. So, Julie and Megan, we want to thank you guys
thank
for coming
you.
In and getting
can
the ball rolling.
Can I put in a plug for another podcast we're having next week? And that'll be also available on our website. And we're talking about something similar, summer programs for our districts. But, of course, the podcast will be available for anybody that wants to listen.
And that'll be on your website as well?
Yes.
All right.
And we'll have Dr. Roberta Gardner from Kennesaw State as our guest.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.